We're doing the Navi Zechariah. We're up to what's called the 8th chapter, the 14th Pasuk. And what happened was, the people had ascended to build the second temple. And as they're building it, they get a message from the Babylonians asking the rabbis, asking the prophets, asking the leaders, should we still be fasting the 9th of Av? Should we still be fasting the destruction of the first temple? Which is another way of saying, you guys haven't amounted to much. So you think you built the second temple, but it's not such a fancy temple, it's not such a worthwhile temple. So the Babylonians have in essence took the wind out of the sails of the Israelis, the people who have made Aliyah. These people have ascended to Israel, risking their lives, working in the gruesome threats of the Kutim, Shomronim who are attacking them. They've made headway, they've built the second temple, and then they get this message from the Babylonians asking a halachic question, should we still be fasting the destruction of the first temple, which in essence was mocking all of their endeavors. And so Hashem had said, hey, don't give up, don't let them knock you down. This temple is going to be so blessed, you guys have such potential, just as you were, everyone spoke about you, how much you were suffering. Everyone's going to talk about you, how successful you're going to be, what a source of blessing you're going to be. And Hashem says in Pasuk Yudalid, Kicho amar Adonai Tzivot, kasher zamamti le'aral lachem, ve'akciv avoteichem oti, amar Adonai Tzivot, ve'lo nichamti. Because Hashem says, just as in the past, when they sinned, when they brought upon themselves the destruction of the temple, so when I was angry at them, I didn't go back on my anger. I told them I'd destroy the temple, and I did. Cain, by the same token, says Hashem, Shavti zamamti bayamim ha'ele leitivet Yerushalayim ve'et Beit Yehuda. Now I have returned, just as then the pendulum swung. You sinned, and I was angered, and I said, I will destroy. Now I have come back, and I plan to rebuild. I plan on making Jerusalem and the house of Judea a good place to live. I will bless you. Al tirahu. And so Hashem says, don't be scared. Don't let the Babylonians knock you down. I told you it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Just like when I said there'd be destruction, there was destruction. Now that I'm telling you it's going to be good, it's going to be good. Don't be scared. Eila devarim asher tahasu. Here's what I want you to do, Hashem says. Daberu emeti shetreyehu. Speak truthfully, man to his fellow man. Simple. Talk the truth. That was one of the basic claims. Hashem said, Tzion v'mishpat tipadeh, you want the redemption of Zion? Bring back justice. So the Navi says, Daberu emet. What I ask of you is speak truth. Emet u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem. I want you to balance the truth and the peace. And that takes a special balance. Sometimes we think, I'm going to fight for what's right. Chazal learned from this pasuk that what Hashem wants is mishpat shalom. That the justice system be a peaceful justice system. One that encourages people to work things out themselves. One that encourages the people to compromise. Emet u'mishpat shalom, Hashem says on the one hand, you have to have a justice system so that if a person is being wronged, he knows he could go and seek out the truth. On the other hand, in most instances, when two people are suing one another, there's some element of truth to each one's claims. And so the justice system has to be a justice system that pushes for peace. It has to be mishpat shalom, where the judges, if they can, bring about a compromise that everyone's happy with. Yeah.
By Shani, was there a cancellation of Tisha B'Av?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So why? So only after the destruction ended. That's what I'm saying. So as soon as they built, there was the beginning of the second temple. Then they immediately ended the fast.
Yeah. Ve'ish et ra'at reyehu al tachshevu bilvavchem ushvuat sheker al tehavu. Do not seek out the ill of one another. Don't think badly. Don't think how to harm one another. Don't run after false testimony and false vows which you think will gain you something in this world. Ushvuat sheker al tehavu. Don't love swearing falsely. Ki et kol eile asher saneiti ne'um Adonai. Hashem says, this is what I hate. This is what brought the destruction. Vayhi dvar Adonai tzevaot elai lemor. And so Hashem said to me the following. Ko amar Adonai tzevaot. Tzom na'revi'i v'tzom ha'chamishi v'tzom ha'shevi'i v'tzom ha'asiri yiyeh l'veit Yudah l'sason ul'simcha ul'moadim tovim. Hashem says the fast of the fourth month, that's Shivasar B'Tammuz. The fast of the fifth month, that's Tisha B'Av. The fast of the seventh month, that's Tzom Gedalia. The fast of the 10th month, that's Asar B'Teves. These are the four fasts that lament the stages of destruction, the siege, the breaching of the walls, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, the murder of the last governor of Israel. So these are the fasts that lament the destruction. Hashem says, these days will be days of rejoicing. These days will be holidays. V'emet v'ashalom ehavum. With one condition. You have to love truth and peace. You want to undo the destruction. You want these days to be days of happiness. So Hashem says, these will be days of happiness if you can maintain the truth and the peace.
Why is truth and peace not obvious? Why is it not emanating from the people? Meaning, we're in a time of prophecy, and so I mean, was there not like a centralized school system or something that was teaching people certain things? Why were people so off base that they weren't able to understand basic concepts, which even goyim in certain places get naturally?
Well, they had like everyone. They had the desire to accomplish. When you have the desire to succeed, so then you think the way to get it is by cheating. The prophets kept telling them, it's not the way you'll succeed, but look today. I just spoke this week, had a conversation with a friend of mine who's a lawyer, and he told me that he has an angle that businesses can make legitimately a lot of money. And he said every time he approaches businesses and shows them how they can legitimately make money, they're too busy trying to do things illegitimately, then they're not interested. He said to me, I don't get it. I'm talking to big companies, but they're so busy looking for the ways to cheat the other guy that when I come as a lawyer and I say, you don't have to do it that way, I'm telling you, you can do it legitimately. They're not interested in hearing. People are so convinced that the way to make it big is by cheating the other guy.
Once they hear the prophecy, how would there be a sudden change? Meaning, a sudden change in one's personality is pretty, it's like a phenomenon, it's pretty impossible. So how, all of a sudden, they hear the prophecy, are we saying then that people actually attack in their behavior after that?
It didn't work. Prophets tried and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
That's what the Gemara and Megillah says. No. I guess some people were moved, and okay. We are supposed to be moved as we learn this.
Okay.
It is supposed to move you, but in a broad scale, at the end of the day, the people did not. You see, the destruction came. You had over a century of warnings, and it didn't work. Meaning, when you have the challenge of one's desire versus what Hashem has to say, what Hashem has to say doesn't always win.
How are we supposed to be optimistic then from such a situation? I mean, if we see people...
Make it better. You make it better.
I'm saying, but in the times of the prophet, when people had prophetic visions, if the common person was unable to makayim the idea, how is it in our time where Hester Panim is so great in a lot of regards and there's so many non-Jewish ideas all the time bombarding us, how are we supposed to take from this optimism?
We have to work with the tools we have today. If we were given an external world that bombards us, we're also given the same tool. There's Machon Meir, you have a website, you have a Torah for Me, you have the same tools, you have the capacity to bombard positively. I get phone calls from students all around the world who I've never met. So we have these tools to fight back, so to speak, to move the world forward, and it's our job to do so.
Why is he called Hashem Tzevaot?
I don't know why over here he's called Hashem Tzevaot. Hashem Tzevaot literally means the one who controls the wars, the one who controls the armies.
Okay.
But I can suggest that maybe the idea is that Here Hashem is saying, I brought the armies upon you in these days of destruction, and I'm the one that's telling you that these will be days of happiness. Maybe.
Od asher yavo amim v'yoshevei arim rabot.
Hashem says, there's still going to be a time, nations will come. They will come to Jerusalem and you will see.
V'alecho yoshevei achat el achat leimor. Neilecha haloch lechalot et p'nei Adonai ulevakesh et Adonai tzevaot.
And the different cities will join together and they will say to one another, let's go together to seek out Hashem. Let's ask Hashem's forgiveness. Let's ask Hashem's kindness. I too want to go. Let's go together. And maybe today we see some fulfillment of this where you have the different organizations uniting, cities all over China, cities all over the world coming to Israel and seeking out. There are a lot that there's a, I wouldn't even call it a resurgence, there's a renaissance, there's an awakening. People out there throughout the world are coming and seeking and interested. Maybe, who knows?
Uvahu amim rabim vegoyim atzumim levakesh et Adonai tzevaot birushalayim.
And you'll have massive nations. Awesome nations will come to seek out Hashem in Jerusalem.
Ulchalot et pnei Adonai.
They will come here to pray before Hashem.
Ko amar Adonai tzevaot bayamim ha'ima asher yachaziku asara anashim mikol leshonot ha'goyim.
In those days, Hashem says, you'll have 10 people from each language, meaning there are 70 languages, 70 nations. You'll have 10 of each.
Vechiziku bichnaf ish Yehudi leimor. Neilecha imachem ki shamanu Elohim imachem.
They'll each grab a corner of a Jew's coat, meaning there are four corners, so you'll have 70 people on each side, 10 from each nation, I guess 700 on each side, grabbing hold on him and saying, let me go with you. We've heard God is with you. Tell us. I want to learn from you how to behave. So you end up having, Chazal say, from this pasuk, there are going to be 2,800 followers. Every one of us is going to have 2,800 students clinging on to our coattails and saying, teach us.
This is a famous pasuk. I'm saying that says that they'll be cut, the goyim will be coming with us.
There are many. This one says one on each, 700 on each corner.
We've
got to get ready. Yeah, you got to learn a lot so you can teach a lot. They're going to come here and say, teach me.
So it's a paskin for them how they should behave?
Well, you got to know enough to teach them. Masa devar Adonai be'eretz chadrach v'damesek menuchato. So here there's a huge discussion. What's going on here? The following prophecy was given to Hashem be'eretz chadrach. Hashem gave the following prophecy. What is eretz chadrach? So one understanding is it's a place near Damascus. That's the land of Chadrach. The following prophecy, Hashem says, will extend all the way out to Eretz Chadrach, meaning the prophecy will extend all the way out to Damascus. So Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, the famous Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said, Eretz Chadrach, what is Chadrach? That's two words put together, Chad and Rach. We're talking about the Mashiach, who is going to be Chad, he's going to be sharp, he's going to be like a knife to the umot, to the nations, and he's going to be rach, he's going to be soft as anything to Israel. And that's how King David is described. He says, Adino ha'etzni. Ne'um, David ben Yishai, Ne'um ha'gemer hukam al. David ha'melech, in his song, in the end of the book of Shmuel, is described as Adino ha'etzni. Chazal say, what is Adino ha'etzni? Adin means soft, gentle, that David, when he was learning Torah, he was gentle like a worm. And he was etzni, he was tough as a stick, he'd be like a spear whenever he was going out to war. There's that balance, and a person has to know when he has to be tough as nails to be able to fight, and when he has to be as soft as anything when he's in a Beis Medrash learning Torah.
That's so, a poem for every person.
Yeah, so
that concept
is universal.
I'm saying that concept got lost for 2,000 years, I'm saying.
I don't know about that.
No?
I don't know. There are many stories about different rabbis who lived this concept. So Rabbi Yossi ben Dur Maskit
said to him, Yehuda, my Rebbe, what are you messing up the Pesukim for? Meaning he, on the one hand, he respects him, because Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, he had a position of leadership. On the other hand, he says, you got it all wrong. He says, I testify on the heavens and the earth. I come from Damascus. There's a place called Chadrach. Don't go telling me Chad and Rach. It's two words. There's a place called Chadrach. And what does it mean with the Mesek Menuchato? This pasuk teaches us that Jerusalem is still going to extend till Damascus. And Damascus, and when Jerusalem reaches Damascus, Menuchato, then so to speak, it will rest from expanding. But Jerusalem, this pasuk tells you that Jerusalem is going to extend out to Damascus. So the verse in Jeremiah says, "V'nivneta ir altila," the city will be rebuilt over its ruins. It will be rebuilt in its same place. So that's true. Jerusalem will be rebuilt in the same place, but it will expand and expand and expand until Damascus. So we haven't finished. Jerusalem is only a little bit bigger than it used to be. Jerusalem, we still have a way to go. Jerusalem is going to reach Damascus.
The rest
is going to be even wider. Israel is going to grow.
They're going to be overtaking other city limits.
Right. That's exactly the idea. Maybe Tzvat and Tveria will be out in France or Greece. Who knows? Israel is going to extend. Which is a very important concept. Meaning Israel, the land of Israel is where there is capacity for prophecy. There's a greater capacity to come close to Hashem. And the Nevi'im are telling us that this is going to expand, this capacity to come close to Hashem. And this prophecy is based over here, but Rashi and Shir Shirim learns that part of the Pesukim and Shir Shirim are talking about it. And in Yechezkel, when Yechezkel discusses how we will ultimately divide the land of Israel, he also discusses that the land is going to be so big that you're going to be able to take slices, straight slices, meaning the way the land of Israel is now, you have all these jagged edges. If you want to divide it among the tribes, you can't have straight sections. But you're going to have longitudinal lines or latitudinal lines dividing the plots of land between the tribes, because Israel is going to be so huge, you're going to be able to have straight lines dividing the land of Israel. So this is a repeated theme throughout the prophets. Ki l'Adonai ein Adam v'chol shivtei Yisrael. Hashem says, because at that time, ki l'Hashem ein Adam, man will turn his eyes to God. He will stop thinking that it's his power, it's his strength, it's his accomplishments that make the world tick. He will realize there's Hashem who's running the world. Ki l'Hashem ein Adam v'chol shivtei Yisrael. Hashem values the tribes of Israel among the world. Meaning there's a world which will look up to Hashem, and there will be the tribes of Israel who will look up to Hashem, and obviously they're going to have a special relationship with Hashem at that time.
This is in the Messianic times?
Yeah.
After the 12 tribes, you're saying have already been reinstituted in the places.
Whatever is going to happen then, yeah. V'gam Chamat tigbol ba, and the city of Chamat will also be within the boundaries of Israel, will be considered an extension of Israel, will be considered an extension of Jerusalem. Tzov etzidon ki chachma me'od. And the cities, the countries of Tzor and Sidon. Tzor is an island that was the capital of the Edomite Empire that was our constant arch enemy. And Sidon was our enemy from the north. So even though they're so smart, these two nations, even so, they're going to be an extension. As smart as they're going to be, you're going to see they're also going to say, I want a part of this, and they're going to be an extension of Jerusalem. Even though now Tzor has greatly fortified itself, Tzor is adamant in maintaining their sovereignty. They've gathered silver like it was dust. And they've gathered charutz, which is fine gold, They've gathered it ketit chutzot, like the tar, the pitch that's left outside in the streets. That's how much gold they had. Even so, hinei Adonai yorishena v'kavayam chela. Hashem says, I will chase them out of their land. I will chase them out of their island. V'kavayam chela, and their power will be knocked down at sea. V'hi ba'esh teachel, and she will be completely consumed in fire. When that happens, Ashkelon will look at that, the city of Ashkelon, and will be gripped with fear. The city of Aza will be greatly scared. The city of Ekron will also be gripped with fear. And the reason is, Kihovish, because the city of Tzor, which was Mebata, they would always look to the city of Tzor as their great defender. We have a peace treaty, we have NATO, we have, each one has their system and their confidence in that system. Hashem, and they look at that with confidence. Ki hovish Mebata, what they looked on for, military security has dried up. Ve'avad melech me'azav ve'ashkelon lo teshev. Aza will no longer have a king. Ashkelon will no longer be inhabited. None of the citizens will remain. V'yashav mamzeh be'ashdod v'hichati geon pelishtim. And a foreign nation will sit in Ashdod, and the pride of the Philistines will be cut down. And here Chazal have, there's an interesting medrash in Avos Rabbi Nosson, that the city of Ashdod used to be a city of mamzerim. Yashav Mamzer Ashdod. The Medrash says that the Mamzer wants to learn Torah in Yerushalayim, and they tell him, go to the base Medrash in Ashdod. Ashdod is where you guys can go. They wouldn't let Mamzerim into Yerushalayim. He's a bastard. His father bore him with a married woman, or with his sister, or some other illicit relationship. And so, as great as he can be in Torah, Yashav Mamzer Ashdod, that even though the Pasuk is really referring to a situation where foreigners will come in, mamzer from the word zar, but over Chazal also took it literally, and we'll finish here. Pasuk Zayin says, "Vasiroti damav mipiv v'shikutzav mibein shinav v'nishal gamu leiloheinu." Hashem says, "I will remove the blood from his mouth." The Edomites have their temples where they sprinkle their blood. Hashem says, I will remove that. They're going to stop having that blood. And the simple reading of the pasuk is that it's not talking about their temples, but rather it's talking about their murderous ways, their pogroms. Vasiroti damav mipiv, I will remove their bloodthirst, their blood from their mouth. Vishikutzav mi ben shinav, I will remove their filth from between their teeth. Venishal gamul elokeinu, and even they will be turned. They too will turn to Hashem. So this is an interesting prophecy that Edom will return. And they will be like the teachings of Judea. And here, Chazal understood this differently than we're explaining. The literal meaning is, Esav's going to do tshuva. Chazal say, no, that's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is they're going to take Madison Square Garden, and they're not going to be using it for boxing matches. They're not going to be using it for pagan conventions. They're going to take these great convention centers, and they're going to use them to teach Torah in them. Chazal Darshan, the Gemara in Megillah, that from here we learn that all the different circuses and coliseums that have been erected for all kinds of filthy things are going to be reinaugurated and going to be used for good, holy things. They're going to have huge academies in these places. That's what Chazal understood. Oh, no, no. So the simple reading of the Gemara is it's not for them, it's for us. That there are going to be so many students that we're going to need these huge coliseums to teach Torah in them. Everyone quoted this in the Siyum HaShas in Madison Square Garden 14 years ago. So everyone quoted the Gemara on this pasuk. Here we were standing in Madison Square Garden. I don't know how many people were there? It was packed. How many people are in Madison Square Garden? What?
80,000. What was the
Siyum for? Siyum HaShas of Daf Yomi. Yeah. So many speakers quoted this.
Because ultimately we're supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael at a certain point.
So that we said Eretz Yisrael is going to extend
across the Atlantic Ocean.
I don't know how far. You're assuming Edom's there. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe it's talking about the Russians when he speaks about the gold. I was thinking about the Russians and the Chinese that have been buying up gold like water.
Saying, so what possibly could the Americans
be? I don't know.
No, I'm saying they're from Europe.
Maybe they're Indians. I don't know.
So I'm saying ultimately they have to have the same nationality.
Right, could be. I don't know. כי אתה ראיתי ועיניי. Hashem says, וחניתי לביתי מצבא. And I will camp by my house to protect my house. I will camp by my house מצבא from those that try to erect a battalion against my home. If anyone tries to bring their armies against it, I will be camping there to protect my house. מעובר ומשב, I will protect my house from those who try to pass. Those who try to pass, be it a large army or a small one. Ve'lo yavor aleihem od noges, and they will not have anyone pass by who can afflict them. Ki ata ra'iti ve'inai, Hashem says, because now I've seen to it to take note with my own eyes, so to speak. Hashem says, now my compassion has been aroused, and I'm keeping my eye on my children, and I'm not going to let anyone harm them anymore. So Hashem says, this is the future, this is what the future holds for you. I'm going to extend Jerusalem, you will extend, and the nations will be overrun, so to speak, by your teachings. They're going to come after you to learn from you the ways of Hashem, and I will be there to protect you, which seems to say that not everyone's going to be learning Torah. There's still going to be a need for protection. We'd like to think everyone's learning Torah, great, everything's going to work out. Maybe no. Maybe the Navi's talking about a time when there'll be this thing called internet, you guys probably heard of it, where the whole world is going to want to learn Torah, and they're going to be able to learn Torah, and they're going to be able to come, and you're going to have a website which puts up a shiur. And once upon a time, you could only teach 5 people in a class, or 50 people in a class, and now you can teach 2,000 people in the same class. And it doesn't have to mean the way we'd like to think, a fairy tale ending and they lived happily ever after. It could be that, like the Navi says, Hashem says, I'll be there with you. And the people who want to harm you will not be successful in harming you. But it doesn't have to mean that the world is going to come to a state where everything's peace and everything's okay. Maybe not. Maybe it just means things are going to be more positive. And you'll extend and your sphere of influence will expand. Maybe. At any rate, the Navi is saying we're headed for good times, Bezach.